rich in blessing and with love to us inclined.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are the messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord. Love. It's a simple four-letter word, but one that can hold a myriad of meanings. You can love pizza or Dan and Debbie's ice cream. Yeah? You can love the Hawkeyes. Any Hawkeye lovers? Cyclone lovers? Panther lovers? You can love the sunset over the prairie. You can love your country. You can also love your children. Each is love, but each is different. The word love occurs 39 times in the Gospel of John, 33 times in the epistles that are attributed to John. It's more than any of the other texts in the New Testament by a long way. In Greek, love can mean different things as well, but they use different words. The Greek word John uses most often for love is agape. It is not the eros love used for spouses or lovers. It is not the familial friendship love of philos. It's where we get Philadelphia from. Agape is the other-centered, self-sacrificial love attributed to God. It's how God loves us. God's creation. Jesus and his disciples are gathered in the upper room, sharing the Passover meal together. It's the last gathering before everything changes. Jesus looks at his disciples, and knowing that he is on the cusp of betrayal, trial, beatings, suffering, death, knowing that sin, death, and the devil, all the forces that defy God, are still at work in the world, Jesus fights them with the only thing that will defeat them: love. Through his actions and work this night, he tells his disciples, us, that I will love you, agape you, until the end. But what does that mean, that Jesus loves us? As shown on this night 2,000 plus years ago, the agape love of Jesus is knowing you come from God, knowing that you will be going to God, and still humbling yourself to wash the feet of others. I'm sorry, ladies, but it is the lowliest, meanest work reserved only for a female slave. And doing so, not so folks will say, oh, Jesus, you're too good for that, and then allowing yourself to be reluctantly pulled up from it. But doing this demeaning, smelly, crap job because that is who God is. Because that is love. Love, agape, love, God's love is when nothing is below you, beneath you, when no one is outside the scope of your love. Not the transgender teen or the white supremacist, not President Putin or President Biden or former President Trump, not Ukrainians or Russians, because Jesus came into the world not to judge it, but to save it. Yes, even the person who popped up in your head just now and you said to yourself, well, surely not them. Yes, them too. And after washing their feet, Jesus asked his disciples, do you know what I have done to you? You can almost see the little smile on his face. I have ruined you for anything else. Because even if you try and convince yourself that your hate is righteous, your stand is principled, you will see me washing your feet and know the truth. Then all your arguments will just turn to ash in your mouths. Let go of all that, Jesus says. The division, the parsing of in and out, let go of that. And love like me. Everyone, always, without boundary. Believe it or not, you'll live longer. Jesus calls us, his disciples, to love each other as I have loved you. And so often on this Maundy Thursday evening, we wash each other's feet, just as Jesus did. And then we pat ourselves on the back because we think we have followed this commandment. But it's not just about foot washing. In fact, it may not even be about foot washing at all. It's about everything that Jesus has done up to this point in his life, and also about what is to come. All of his life is a witness to Jesus' agape love. It means going out and calling people to follow Jesus. It means going to weddings and making sure the wine never runs out. It means eating with those who oppose you, like Nicodemus. It means healing the blind, talking to the outcast like the Samaritan woman at the well. It means unbinding the dead like Lazarus, weeping when our friends and loved ones die. It means being fully embodied, present with everyone, feeling compassion for everyone. Jesus' love for us is not just an example to follow as much as it is the means that enables us, releases us to love. Because when God and Jesus loves us that much, despite who we are, how we act, what we say, when God and Jesus loves us that much, we are transformed. It is a love that makes us better than we are, that changes us, that opens the floodgates to our own imperfect expression of that agape, other-centered love. It's kind of like one of those moments where someone is finally brave enough to step forward and act that suddenly seems to give everybody else permission. Have you ever had one of those moments? Maybe it's in a class where suddenly somebody finally raises their hand, or you're in a conference, or everybody, you're in a tense moment and you're kind of waiting for somebody to do something. And then the moment they speak or the moment they say it, it kind of opens the floodgates. It's permission giving. Jesus' love shown through his life, shown this night in the washing of the disciples' feet, shown in his suffering and death on the cross, opens for us the floodgates of love in our own lives. So that we might weep when the dead are Russian as well as Ukrainian. We might welcome everyone into this assembly. We might feed the hungry without hesitation, even as we seek to find out why they hunger. We might turn the other cheek when people lash out in pain. We might seek to understand others, looking at what they do in the best possible light. We might see them as Jesus did, as created in the image of God and deserving of love, our love as well as God's love. Now, a word of warning. This kind of love is dangerous because it makes people uncomfortable. Because it says that the distinctions we make as humans in our society are not important at all. In fact, they're contrary to what God calls us to do and how God calls us to be. And too often it is these false distinctions that people use to gain and keep power. And so when someone pokes a hole in that lie, it threatens their power and they respond. That's what happened to Jesus. This is why anywhere between 40 to 100 people, mostly African Americans, were killed by white Klansmen, police officers, and citizens during the Civil Rights Movement between 1955 and 1968. Dr. King's vision of an America where children of all races would live and laugh and love together, where people would be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin, threatened the power of those who were in charge. It threatened their very way of life that had been instilled in them from birth. And so sin, death, the devil, all the forces that defy God rose up in violence. Now, God's response to violence is always love. God's response is that of Jesus, who looked down from the cross and said, "Oh, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Jesus' compassion for us was such that even as people sought to take his life, he was fighting to save theirs. He loved them. Even to his death. And the response to the violence shown to those siblings in Christ of the Civil Rights Movement, rooted in Christ's teaching, was nonviolence. to stand firm in their belief that they were created in the image of God and deserving of love, to accept the violent response of those blinded by sin, death, and the devil until they exhausted themselves, to trust that in the end, God's agape love wins. Everyone will know we are disciples of Jesus by how many times we come to church, by how many Bible verses we know. Everyone will know we are disciples of Jesus by our love. How we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all that we are. Not on the side, but wholly. In everything that we do. As we live our daily lives in the story of God's love for the world in Jesus. They will know we are disciples of Jesus by how we love our neighbors in the same way that Jesus loved us. When we express a love that is spontaneous, it's unlimited, it's love freely given to sinners and righteous alike, to those who love us in return and those who seek to do us harm, we spread that love everywhere. The proclamation of the world is that to live, you need to divide into this group and that, the right and the wrong, and even more dangerous, the righteous and the damned. And there are strong cultural voices that say you cannot see anything redeeming in those over there, on that side, that push us to see those people as other, not worthy of basic respect, much less love. I know the frustrations of this world. When you see yet another school shooting like Nashville, where six are dead just because they went to school that day. The shooter dead. And nothing seems to change. I know the frustrations when you see one country invade another for no reason at all, starting a war that has killed at least 8,000 Ukrainian civilians and caused hundreds of thousands of military casualties for both Ukrainians and Russians. The impulse to fight, to strike out, is strong. And there are certainly deeper conversations to be had here. But the truth of it is, my friends, the only thing that will truly win in the end is love. Only love can conquer death. Only love can resurrect. Only love can heal. Only love can feed. Only love can defeat sin, death, the devil, and all those forces that defy God. Only love, agape love, God's love, like Jesus, washing feet, healing our soul, looking us in the eyes and saying, "Oh, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." We come tonight hungry for this love. One that will be shared in this meal. A love that we pray will open the floodgate of loves in our own lives. For our sake and for the sake of the world. The same world that God loves with agape love, a love willing to sacrifice God's own Son so that we all might live. And so come and receive this embodiment, physical embodiment of Christ's love for you in bread and wine. Come and sit with us as we watch over the next few days what sin, death, the devil, and all those forces that defy God try and do to him. Come and see, once again, that love wins.
Thanks be to God.